Welcome to welcome to ReachMahjong.com's weekly podcast with Garth
and Jen.
Jen and Luna also participating. That's Luna, yes, Luna.
She's so happy to hear her name.
I think she's excited to go for a walk is what she's thinking. She's like, what? My name? That probably means I'm going for a walk. But no, it's not going to mean that for a while, at least. Alright, so yes, Mahjong. Before Mahjong, it is happy springtime. Woo, spring's here. Woo. And you know what that means, at least for, you know, for me. That means Hanami. The whole country. In case you've never been to Japan during this time, the whole country just goes crazy.
Except me.
Yes. Well, all the Japanese people go absolutely insane for cherry blossoms. It's really ridiculous. Is it not a little bit ridiculous?
It's a little bit ridiculous.
I don't really understand the whole thing. It's just, it's a little crazy.
It seems like you understand it the most.
Well, I mean, I enjoy it probably more than most other people. But I don't know if I really understand it. It just seems a little bit... It just seems out of control. And, you know, the level to which people are going absolutely crazy for cherry blossoms, it's just like, whoa, dude, calm down. They're just, like, blossom flowers. Although it is a great excuse to get everybody out and, you know, loose.
Loose.
People are much looser. Around the cherry blossoms. It's a fun time. Yeah, so that's the word is Hanami, which basically means flower watching or flower viewing or whatever.
Yeah, and viewing is more accurate Englishly, I think.
Probably, yes, Englishly.
And don't you love how I threw that in?
Yeah, it's good. That's
clever.
Even your Englishly was very Englishly.
That was very clever. I thought it was clever.
Englishly? It was Englishy. Yes. This year's Hanami season, I think, is probably going to be pretty short because there's been so much crazy wind and rain that it's going to probably knock all the flower petals off before they can actually be seen and drunk under by us. So
I have a question for you.
Oh, yes, yes. I have an answer for you. George Washington.
So is money market or COD better?
COD. Certificate CD. Of deposit?
Well, yeah.
Certificate of deposit. Well, it depends. Somehow, in fact, recently, some money market funds actually managed to lose money, which was theoretically impossible when they first came out, but somehow some of them did. So I would imagine that probably a CD is better in theory, just because that really actually cannot lose money. You are guaranteed to get whatever interest rate you decide you get the bank to lock in at the beginning of it. But, you know, depends on where you're getting that. For example, if you were to deposit your money in Cyprus, that would probably not be a very good investment at all because in Cyprus they're ready to just take your money at the drop of a hat, apparently. Or perhaps in any country in the EU, if your leaders have been screwing over your country's economy for the last...
We really need Gemma for this conversation.
Oh.
Why isn't Gemma here?
Does she know more about this stuff than we do?
She knows so much about this stuff.
Huh.
You know, she pretty much... She might be the smartest person I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. I probably used to be sort of at the top of that category, I thought.
Yeah. Until I met Gem.
Crap.
She knows everything about politics and money and everything.
Yeah, you know, and she
especially
doesn't even...
Europe.
She doesn't even seem to think that socialism is so bad.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how I get along with her.
That was pretty funny, that conversation.
Yeah.
Illuminating, in fact.
I'm definitely a capitalist.
Yeah. Yes. Well... They all have their good and bad points, but yes, right, capitalism. So anyway.
If you worked hard, you'd be a capitalist.
Just because I work hard at avoiding work does not mean I'm not working hard. It takes a lot of effort to avoid work. this much. You obviously do not appreciate that, do you? So yes, Hanami is going on this week, as much as possible, drinking under the cherry blossoms. And other than that, Mahjong. I have finally actually gotten to play a little Mahjong in the last couple weeks. Have you been playing Mahjong?
I played with you, and I played the day before you with you.
We did actually get to play a set, which we have not done for quite some time. You won a little bit, I broke even, and that is if we were playing for money, which, you know, we can't do because gambling is illegal in Japan.
Right.
So, of course, that was not happening, as far as you know. How do you think you played that day?
I did okay. I mean, I did fine. I won a little bit.
Huh, nice.
I was a little bit annoyed playing, so.
Anything in particular annoying you? Was it me?
No, for once, no.
Oh, wow, what a relief. Wow, something more annoying than me. That really must have been pretty annoying. Because usually it's all my fault. So I guess annoying is sort of on the down low. We'll keep the annoying culprit, whatever that was. Speaking of just annoying, like in general, what sort of things do annoy you when you're playing?
When people are being annoying.
What can people do to be annoying?
Smack other people.
Okay, so obviously
Stop
we're talking about
playing.
We're talking about playing a set in which at least a few of the people know each other.
Yeah.
Because normally, I have not seen anybody at a Mahjong parlor smack anybody else. Although I have seen somebody grab another player that was not one of their friends. Because the one time in my life that I saw a situation where somebody might actually have been cheating, that the guy reached across the table and grabbed the guy's hand. That's the only time I've ever seen any physical contact in a Mahjong parlor. Other than what you talk about, yes, friends batting each other around. Which is one of those weird things about Japanese culture that I don't think I will ever get used to. The way that, here they call it the Jōgei Kankei, which basically translate as, you know, upper and lower, or hierarchy. People who are more, people who are higher up in the hierarchy can just bat around people who are lower down in the hierarchy. I mean, they smack them upside the head, they kick them, they push them over, they beat them up. It's really a weird sort of philosophy that like really actually pervades a lot of society here.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how much it seems to be really okay at almost all levels of society. You know, I would think that would be something that would be limited to mostly sort of lower class people, but no, it's you see even people like people at the in like the TV world who are making, you know, think they'd be who went to nice universities and come from nice families, and they're still like batting around anybody that they think is lower in place than they are. It's kind of a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to Mahjong, where did you play? When we played in Nakameguro.
Yeah.
Mahjong parlor in
Nakameguro. And then we played in Shinjuku the night before. Yeah.
Nice.
It was okay. We're playing. So the people, like a couple of my friends now, they like to play at Zoo in Shinjuku, which is like, it's fine, but it's really cheap for a reason. And Coca-Cola costs like 100 yen.
Holy cow!
Even if you're playing free. Even if you're playing at the...
Wow.
The normal tables.
That is cheap. Huh. I don't think I've been to a Mahjong parlor that charged money for Coke or whatever, ever.
Yeah, it's pretty special. So then we moved to Welcome, which not only gives you free Coca-Cola, but also free toast.
Yes, I do like those places that come around every once in a while with the time service, and then
they just like have bread or something.
Sometimes it's pretty It's awesome.
Yeah. Like, what was it, 3-5 in Shinjuku? Like, if you're playing all night, they come around every 2 hours with something.
Yeah.
They have, like, cookies, or, and then the next time they have, like, energy drink.
Yes.
Like, Lipo Vitan.
So Sakai in Musashikoyama, they do that also. They come around with energy drinks, or sometimes it's ice cream or pudding. They say, all right, time service, ice cream or pudding, and then they just come around with that. Or they have toast also.
Mm-hmm.
The place that I go to sometimes in Meguro, they've got a full-on chef going on in there. So he'll make up yakisoba sometimes, like, hey, yakisoba, anyone want some yakisoba? Really? Okay. And it's all service, you know, just like, okay, yeah, we're just handing it out. If you want some. So some of them are pretty cool. And, you know, all right, it's true. Obviously, they are a little bit more expensive, but I don't know. I guess you get what you pay for. you know, capitalism. So let's see. What I wanted to talk about randomly, it's strategy-wise, just because it's come up so much in the last couple weeks. There have been times when I was winning, and instead of just kind of playing it out, well, the theme for this conversation is let somebody else win for you. Because there have been just so many times recently when I did not need to push. I was already in the lead, and if I had let somebody else win the game for me, I could have just won the game. And instead, I pushed, and you know, like one time, I had 48,000 points. 48,000 points. The guy in second place had 32,000 points. Just a little bit. I was just within 16,000 points of him. And what do? I throw Mangan to him, and exactly, whoop, I put him into first place, and me drop down to second place.
Wow.
Just idiotic. You know, very similar thing yesterday, also, at the very end, very last hand. I wasn't so far in the lead. I was probably only about 6,000 points in the lead. But the thing is, my hand was just not a hand that I was going to be able to win anyway. And the only way for me to win that game was going to be hoping that somebody else would win the last hand for me. Because the two players, the last dealer was the one that was close to me.
Mm-hmm.
So if he goes for it, I'm probably going to end up losing. But the other players were still, you know, trying not to be last place.
Mm-hmm.
So they were still going to go for it, you know. So I really should have just hoped that they were going to be able to make it. And instead, what do? I don't even throw to the dealer. I end up throwing to one of them and drop down to below the dealer to get to second place. And finally, yesterday, at the end of the day, my last hand, I was shooting for first place. The guy to my right had just... He pawned the white dragon early, and then he had just pawned the red dragon. My next draw, it was the last hand of the day. I was one away from ready with a simples and peace and Dora hand. So if I can win that hand with the reach, then I get 8,000 points, and it would put me into first place.
Mm-hmm.
My next draw after he had pawned the red dragon was the green dragon, which he has not pawned yet. So, and I had already thrown one green dragon, so I figured, all right, if I'm going for this hand, I should just throw it now. So I threw it, and I end up giving him 32,000 points.
And I did that.
You did that when? Recently?
When we were playing. When you and I were playing.
Really?
I threw Kokushi.
I threw Daisangen.
Yeah, I know, but...
Kokushi, really? When was that?
He was to my left, so he was across, and you were to my right.
Huh. Well, all right, but Kokushi, that's, you know, you don't know what somebody's waiting for there. You know that, like, letter tiles and ones and nines are going to be dangerous, but you may have a reason for pushing there, and you know, it could be any one of those tiles. But after he has pawned the white and red dragons, obviously the green dragon is a little bit dangerous.
Mm.
Except that, God, I just wanted, you know, it was the very next tile I had drawn. I thought I could push once, and no, I could not. And, you know,
yeah.
Had I been playing for money, that was a 10,000 yen swing.
Had you been playing for money.
Yes, if that were legal here.
Yes.
But to at least end this theme on where I did finally get that theme right once. When I did win the North Kanto League.
Right.
That's the one time I can really remember giving up on winning. And I ended up winning by not pushing there.
Yeah, it's important.
It's really
it's
weird.
It's very important.
It's so counterintuitive to try to go for the win by not trying to win.
Well, that's like a big... That's why reading is so important, right? Reading people.
Yes. And that's another thing I've noticed recently is that when I am trying to get out... Once I've decided that I can't win the hand, I am crap at giving at folding hands. Like, I... Because I'm focusing so hard on winning the hand all the time that when it does come time to give up, I have no clue what to do. And then suddenly I'm like, looking at every all the information out there, like, oh my god, what am I supposed to do with all this information? I have no idea how to give up a hand. Like, so when you decide to give up a hand, have you been watching the other players to the point where you're really like, okay, I know this guy is dangerous, so I'm going to really only focus on trying to not throw to him? Or what are you looking at when you decide to give up a hand? Especially if nobody has reached. So at that point, there's no clear and present danger, really. But you've already decided that you're not going to try to win the hand. What are you doing? What are you giving up on? Like, how are you giving up at that point?
If I don't think that I can give up well, uh-huh. then I'll keep going, uh-huh. and I won't care if I throw into their hand. Because uh-huh. I think you saw when we were playing the set. Uh-huh. I would just put tiles down, face down, that I thought were dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
And I was right most of the time.
Uh-huh.
And most of the time, the tiles that I put down were people's winners.
Uh-huh.
Another time with, like, three people were reach and things like that.
Right.
So then I'll just go for it if I think that I can't fold well. So I'll only fold when I think I can fold well. And I'll try and start with things that are only safe for that person. And then I'd try and keep things that are going to be safe for other people, too. Because other people will get ready after that.
Right.
And that's where I usually throw tiles the most. I usually deal into hands the most. I'll be watching for the person who reached. And then somebody else will get ready while I'm throwing tiles that are safe only for the person that reached.
Right. Yeah, that is a huge consideration. When somebody else has reached... noticing when somebody else has gotten to ready, and realizing that their hand is also dangerous, especially if you notice that somebody else is ready, and that somebody else is obviously ready. For example, they start throwing out tiles that are obviously dangerous to the person who reached. Then you got to figure, well, okay, maybe that guy's probably ready, and not only is he probably ready, but he's probably waiting for something that the reacher has already in his discards.
Mm-hmm.
And he's hoping that by not reaching, you're just not going to notice and throw one of those things that he did. Or throw one of those things that are in his discards already. And it's another strategy, though, that when, you know, maybe his hand is actually cheaper and he's just trying to help you out by not making his hand more expensive. So, all right, look, throw it to me. I've only got, my hand is only worth 1,000 points. Although I suppose, obviously, if that were the case, then theoretically he should be giving up, not throwing the stuff that's so dangerous to the other guy. I don't know. The whole theory behind the whole philosophy of giving up, I have such a hard time getting it right. First of all, getting myself to do it, and then second of all, getting it right once I do start doing it. It is not one of my fortes. But I don't know. Giving up. So that was the main thing I wanted to focus on right there, was giving up when somebody else has not reached already, because, you know, so a player like, say, Fujiwara, like, he'll give up way early in hands, and yet part of when he's giving up there, he's still also trying not even to throw. He's not only thinking about not throwing into people's hands, not throwing them the winner. He's also really even just thinking about, like, what I don't want to throw anything that somebody else might steal, that somebody that might say that pon or chi, right? And that's another thing that I don't really have down very well. Like the idea of, you know, not even helping somebody get to ready before they are obviously already ready.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was kind of what I really want to focus on in my, you know, giving up, in my folding in the future, like being ready to fold and doing it right even before there's obviously a real danger, like somebody reaching.
Yeah, it takes so much practice to do that. And the best thing to do is watch people that are really good at that. So I think, like, watching, you know, just get on Ronron and watch some of Fujiwara's hands. Watch some of Taki's hands, because I think he's actually the best at that.
Taki also is, yeah.
He has a really good balance. Like, Fujiwara probably folds too much.
Right.
But Taki has a really good balance between both folding
attacking
and going for
and,
it, yeah. And I think Hisato might be interesting to watch, too, on that. So I would get on and watch some of their hands on Ronron and kind of see how they do things. I think the playback option on Ronron is probably one of the best things, because you can go at your own pace, you can watch and kind of see. And you know, if you get on Ronron and you watch people's hands and you have questions that you want to ask the pros directly, you know, email them to us. I'll be happy to ask some of the pros, like, questions about their hands and stuff, and I'm sure that they would be happy to answer, and we could post them on the website.
That is a great idea, actually.
So feel free to do that anytime.
And especially, you know, if you're going to do that, you should probably do it for pros that probably really do have reasons for doing the things they do, like the ones you suggested, Taki or Fujiwara or Hisato. Hisato also, like you said, probably very interesting in that it's going to be very difficult with him a lot of times to tell whether he's really giving up or not, because he has a really haphazard style of playing, and he's probably, I don't know, I would say one of the most difficult players to read in at least in our league, but in Mahjong in general, because you never know whether he's really going for it or not, and if what he has is actually a really expensive hand or not. And one thing, so I think he's probably actually gotten better, even better than he already was, say, 2 or 3 years ago, because he was probably attacking a little bit too much. So like you said, Fujiwara may fold a little bit too much, and where he should be attacking, Taki has the balance down just right. I'd say a few years ago, Hisato probably attacked a little bit too much, but he may have found that balance while also still being able to really hide how he may or may not be attacking. You know, if you're standing behind him, of course, that makes a big difference. You can see what's going on. But a lot of times, even, you know, when he throws this thing or that thing, it's like, really? Why did he throw that? And then he ends up winning the hand later, and you're like, oh, wow. Like, I guess he's just a genius.
Yeah, it's really hard to determine sometimes if people are geniuses or they really have no idea what they're doing.
yes. All right. Well, that was the my subject for today, what I wanted to study. Win by not winning. it's at the end of the game when you've got enough points, or even when you don't necessarily have enough points, but you really got to look at your hand and say, you know, I mean, I'm not going to be able to win this hand. And if you can't win the hand, you're only shooting yourself in the foot more by going for it with a hand that you can't win. And who knows? Maybe you are just destined to take second place that game. And all right, so if you let somebody else win and he pushes up into first place and pushes you down into second, well, maybe instead of you pushing there, you might have moved yourself down to third, and so maybe you saved second place by not pushing where you shouldn't have.
Yeah, one thing though that I really can't get over, like other pros saying not to do, is, especially if I'm playing in a private game, if I can move up to third place from fourth place, or win a hand in third place in the last hand of the game, I'm going to do it.
Yes, I'd say the pros that that have been telling you, and I've gotten that before too, are not pros that we're certainly not the people that we were just mentioning.
Right.
And in fact, when I did something like that in our study group, they're like, "Dude, win there, you idiot!" Like,
yeah, because you could lose so much. There's potential of losing so much more from that. You gotta conserve your losses.
And it goes back to that argument we often have about at the end of the game, at the end of a tournament, if you are no longer in a position to win the tournament, you need to get out of the way for the two people that are still in competition.
Yep,
it's
never gonna do that.
It's exactly
never gonna do that. I specifically not did that on broadcasted game.
Very good. And, you know, if
and
that
I
ever
was
comes...
actually, some people gave me crap about it. Nobody in JPML gave me crap about it.
Oh, really?
Somebody from another league actually has a private broadcast they do. And they talked crap about that on their private broadcast.
Oh, some people's children.
No one in JPML said anything to me about it.
Really? That's interesting. Because
they
could
have, because Rumi, I stopped Rumi from winning, and so the player actually won. But I don't know, I think that's good for the event.
Yeah, and well, just besides that, it's simply, for all the reasons that they say to play this way or that way in Mahjong, every single one of them applies to that, you know, why would you throw the win there?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any
sense. Plus, so I won on that hand, and then that put me in a position so I could, if I won, like, a Yakumon hand, limit hand, then I could win the game, so I still had a chance.
So, kudos to you. Way to stand up to the man. Oppressive Mahjong rule man.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's see. Anything coming up? League is starting for us in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm really excited. I really want to get back into Mahjong.
I am a little excited, too. It's been a long 2 months off, and I've been not taking the last year very seriously, so I should probably... It'd be nice to take it a little bit more seriously again.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to play Mahjong all the time. I was supposed to get back into poker and stuff, and I think I'm going to concentrate on Mahjong and hopefully do some poker on the side, but...
If any of you happen to be in Japan next month... the Mahjong Masters tournament, which is one of our biggest tournaments of the year, is actually open to non-pro players. So, I can't remember if the qualifier is... I think it's the second week for non-pro players. Excuse me. Okay. Yes, a little sneeze there. Whoop. So yes, if you happen to be in town, I think the qualifiers for non-pro players are the second or third week in April.
I guess the second.
Second week.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be probably 13th, I think. 13th or 14th. Okay. Maybe the 14th. I don't know. It was the B, right? B.
B qualifiers, yes. Also on that day in Yoyogi, we'll be doing a homebrew Hanami party.
Even though the Hanami will be long gone by then.
Yes, actually, yeah. There will be absolutely no flowers left. They won't even be on the ground anymore. They will all have been blown away somewhere. All right. Any events coming up for you? Mahjong Fight Club. Are your Pro Cup thing is?
It's like the 28th or something of April.
April. Oh.
Yeah.
All right, and I am also later in April, I think, too. So, there aren't going to be any chances to play us soon, except for perhaps on Ronron, or Mahjong Fight Club. Just you know, no special events. Just we'll be there probably. Anything else? Anything else?
Nope. I think that's about it.
All right. Thanks again for listening. If you sorry, yeah, give our details out.
Yeah, let's give our details, and I'll get the song going.
The music.
You do
all right, right. Mm-hmm. I am Garth E on Twitter, GARTHEEE, and Jen is Mahjong Jen.
MAHJONGJEN.
Only one N.
Okay, only good. One N.
Two, but not right next to each other.
Yeah, there's one N in Mahjong and one N in Jen.
I was just doing...
Usually I use two N's.
I was channeling Fletch there because, you know, when he says, my name is Babar, and he's like, oh, is that two B's or one? He's like, one, well, two B's, but not right next to each other.
Garth and his funny movies.
Ah, yes. What could I do without them? Let's see, where else are we? Oh, Garthy at reachmahjong.com. That's only one E on Garthy, G-A-R-T-H-E, at Mahjong, at reachmahjong.com. And you are Jen...
J-E-N-N. This time there's two N's.
At reachmahjong.com. We love to hear from you, and Jen is probably a little better at answering than I am. But
a little better.
Well, autonomy is over. I mean, there won't be any reason to drink anymore.
Oh, and buy Scott Miller's new book.
Scott Miller.
Yeah, Scott D. Miller is a new Mahjong book.
Scott D. Miller?
And Garth has a copy of it.
Oh.
That he hasn't read.
That's right.
Yeah, read that.
Right, I have to do that. All right.
Everybody buy that.
Well then, there you have it.
Buy it on Amazon or somewhere.
Scott D. Miller.
Or if you can buy it directly from his site, he'll probably get more money from that. Amazon, you don't get as much money, but I'm sure he'll be happy if you buy it from Amazon anyway. So buy it.
Very nice.
Da, 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 da.
Shout out to Scott D. Miller.
Scott
D. Miller.
Scott D. Miller. And he has a fantastic smile.
Really?
I don't know if you saw the picture on the back flap.
I do remember you mentioning this.
It's
before.
A fantastic smile.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Flash that winning smile. All right. Thanks again for listening. And we'll see you, we'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
Right for you to run. Ich lieb dich nicht, du liebst mich nicht.